The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David, called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged, and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord.
In the name of the God who created us, redeems us, and sustains us.
Amen. Amen.
Let's go back to the beginning, back to the Garden of Eden before the fall. Now, before I continue, let me quickly add that the Episcopal Church neither endorses nor condemns the idea of creationism. If you wish to believe that God created the world in 7 24-hour days, then you're free to do so. If you believe the creation story is an allegory written by men of old to help people understand the then unexplainable, that's fine too. All we affirm is that God is the maker of heaven and earth. You're free to believe whatever you want on how that happened. But anyway, let's go back to the garden. If you read the story, you know that God is walking in the garden. He's looking for Adam and Eve, who were hiding because they ate the fruit. For your source of useless knowledge, nowhere does it say it's an apple. Just say it. Now, in the story, God is that close to humans. They can walk together, share the same space, experience no shame. Now, that is, of course, until they took matters into their own hands, exercised their free will, and got kicked out of the garden. From that point on, humanity has been trying to reconnect with God. Throughout Scripture, we hear story after story of God trying to connect with humanity, and humanity trying to, in some way, be in the presence of God in a righteous way. Through elaborate rituals, pure animal sacrifices, and the giving of 10% of all that we have back to God, humans want to once again walk in the presence of God. Now, sometimes we were successful. And even today, there are places where we are closer to God and where we feel whole. The ancient Celts, and let me stop here. They are Celts, Celtics. The Celtics is a ball team in Boston. Those are different Celts. Anyway, back to the Celts. Even later Christians, they used a term, thin places, to describe places where God is closer to us. The Celtic saying is, heaven and earth are only 3 feet apart, but in thin places, that distance is even shorter. The sacred and the secular seem to meet. Thin places unmask and transform us. We can once again be naked before God and unashamed. In thin places, we become our more essential selves. Now, perhaps you know of a thin place where you can go to walk with God and to be replenished. This is divine union, which humanity has longed for over and over again. But with all the rituals and rules, that union with God in the thin places, rather than growing stronger, actually diminished. God seemed to become more distant, which was not how God intended it to be with creation. God created humanity to be one with him. It is only by this union with God that we, as humans, are made whole. And this wholeness is what world religions point to when they speak of heaven or nirvana, bliss or enlightenment. Christianity's mistake has been delaying that inner state of wholeness, that total connection with God, until after death. If heaven is later, that's because it's first of all now. Why wait until after death? One of our Eucharistic prayers says, in the fullness of time, God sent his only Son, born of a woman, to fulfill God's law, to open for us the way of freedom and peace. The feast of the Nativity, the Incarnation, what we now call Christmas, is the ultimate thin place. It is where God and humanity unite once again in the birth of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. God could not recreate the Garden of Eden. It was too late for that. But humanity could once again reach out and touch the face of God. But think about it. It's almost ironic that when we first experienced God's presence, it was in a place of indescribable beauty where all of human needs were provided for by God, what we call the Garden of Eden. But the next time God and humanity are united, it's in a barn surrounded by animals and shepherds who were the equivalent of our day laborers. Amidst this squalor and smells, God provides the beauty that God deserves. An angel who was bringing good news of great joy for all the people. And then comes the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." In her book, On Earth as in Heaven, German theologian Dorothy Soleil says, "The frightened shepherds becomes God's messengers. They organize, make haste, find others, and speak with them." Do we not all want to become shepherds and catch sight of the angel? I think so. But without the perspective of the poor, we see nothing, not even an angel. When we approach the poor, our values and goals change. The child appears in many other children. Mary also seeks sanctuary among us, because the angels sing, "The shepherds rise, leave their fears behind, and set out for Bethlehem," wherever it is situated these days. End quote. Wherever it is situated these days. For humanity, Bethlehem was the thinnest place. It is where, as St. Clement said in about the year 200, "The Word of God became a man, so that you might learn from a man how to become like God." Today, our Bethlehems, the places where we're most united with God, are wherever we can find them. If you're searching for yours, just look for the light which gives you direction to your truest self. Feel the wholeness which we can only get with unity with God in Christ. And then be the light to others. While this poem by my favorite poet, W.H. Auden, was written on September 1st, 1939. Any history buffs in the church who know what September 1st, 1939 was? It was the day the Nazis invaded Poland. But it's just as significant today. Auden says, "Defenseless under the night, our world in stupor lies. Yet dotted everywhere, ironic points of light flash out wherever the just exchange their messages. May I, composed like them of eros and of dust, beleaguered by the same negation and despair, show an affirming flame. Amen.